Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to the Great Big Friday Show on Catholic Answers Live. And it is a Great Big Friday Show because we are broadcasting from the EWTN booth here at the Great Big Los Angeles Religious Ed Conference, the largest gathering of Catholics in the United States. Over the next couple days, more than 40,000 people will make their way through these halls, and it's a very exciting time. It's also a big show because we have a live audience, mostly made up of parishioners from Holy Innocents Parish in Victorville, California. There we go. and lots of other folks as well. And in addition to all that, it's a great big show because we have two wonderful priests with us today for the show. Second hour, Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain, will be here. The chaplain is in. That means any question that you have of a pastoral nature is more than welcome. This hour, we welcome the internet sensation himself, Father Mike Schmitz, who is the director of, how do we say this, young adult ministry?
Youth ministry.
Yep. for the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota, and at the University of Minnesota at Duluth. You can find out all about him and all that they do there. A lot of good stuff by going to bulldogcatholic.org. He's also the author of a brand new book, Made for Love, which we will talk about this hour. That is our theme this hour, Made for Love. Father Mike Schmitz, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me live in person.
I know, live in person.
Not
never
over
been
the telephone.
Yeah,
right. Anymore.
It's nice to be with you. And you have those dulcet tones to your voice because you're recovering from laryngitis.
Well, I hope I'm recovering.
Yeah.
You sound good. Well, thanks. I'm getting the sweats, though. I think it's the pressure of the people here standing around me.
Well, live audience.
Live studio audience.
Very
hard. This is what Bob Barker feels like every day.
Not anymore.
Nope.
No, it's somebody. This is what Bob
and
felt like.
Pat Sajak.
Yeah, right.
I feel like Vanna White.
You can be the Vanna White of
Thank
Catholic
you.
Answers Live. Tell us a little bit about Made for Love. We have talked a little bit about it on the air before. You're here doing a couple of presentations where folks can come in because there's big classrooms and ballrooms and stuff, and you're filling up a ballroom there talking about it. What are we talking about, Made for Love? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, it's a book on same-sex attraction in the Catholic Church, and ultimately what it comes down to is the reason why I wanted to write this. But we talked about this before, but the reason why I wanted to write a kind of book that was not that was deep enough that it could address real questions that real people have, but was also accessible enough that anyone could appeal to it and say, okay, what is it the church teaches? Why does the church teach this?
Yes.
And then the last big question is, how can either I live with this attraction, or how can I love someone who has this attraction?
Yes.
And so that it's kind of basically, here's what the church teaches, why the church teaches, and then here's more. Here's how you can live. Because I think a lot of times, it's my experience, when, say, someone's son or daughter, their brother or sister, whoever it is, says to their family, to people that love them, that they experience same-sex attraction, sometimes even well-meaning parents, well-meaning siblings, friends, will say, like, that sounds like a death sentence.
That
sense of, like, oh, my gosh, no, anything but this.
Yeah.
And the reality, of course, is that there's so much hope. In fact, there's so many witnesses that are in the book as well as that we see throughout the church of men and women who experience same-sex attraction, but they also know the truth of Christ and the call through his church to live chastity.
Yeah.
And experience a lot of holiness and a lot of happiness in that.
Right.
And so that's what the book is trying to communicate, is the what, the why, and then how do I live?
Father, and that's what you do very, very well, by the way, and all across many media, but when you hear from young people today who are rejecting the faith, one of the primary reasons that they will say that is, I can't accept what the church teaches about homosexual marriage or gay people or something like that. And it's among the young, that's a very, very powerful thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much of the book, writing the book, was for the person who's experiencing same-sex attraction, and how much of it was for the young person who needs to know that, the Catholic Church is for them too, even though they're not experiencing the same-sex attraction, that they've taken offense at the church's teaching.
Yeah, because it's one of the number one reasons why someone would cite, I can no longer be Catholic, or I can't identify as Catholic. is because their impression or their understanding is that the church, through teaching on this, is one of hate. And that's the number one thing. It's like, hey, like, okay, how do we address that?
Yeah, right.
Because I remember years ago when in the question of same-sex marriage had come up in the state of Minnesota, but then also throughout the country, talking with so many high schoolers and then a lot of college students that were on a college campus, that if asked, like, well, why is it you would disagree with the church's teaching that marriage is only for a man and woman? And the answer was, like, they couldn't give an answer. The answer was, well, because it makes me feel sad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That said, like, the idea that someone would have to be alone makes me feel sad. And I think the same kind of thing is the case when it comes to, here's the church's teaching on same-sex attraction. It's like, I don't want someone to experience loneliness. I don't want someone to experience abandonment. I don't want someone to feel rejected.
Yeah.
So I can't align myself with a church that makes someone lonely, that makes someone abandoned, and would reject someone. And so one of the big hearts of the book is this desire to get to the place of, like, oh, this is no rejection at all. That this is one of, actually, there's a whole chapter on acceptance and how necessary for any one of us. Pope Benedict even says this. He says, we cannot begin to accept each other until we realize that we've been fully accepted by our Lord, by God himself.
Ah, yeah.
That I can't love another person until I realize that he has fully loved me.
Yeah.
And that sense of, like, there's a whole chapter in the book that talks about how does someone who experiences brokenness in their heart, who experiences the reality of, like, you know, feedback, you just try. Who experiences the people driving in their cars are like, what the heck happened to the?
It's that Father Mike Schmitz
again.
I know,
that voice, those dulcet tones. Yeah. But that sense of, like, is this something of hate, or is this something more? Is this something deeper? Is it a higher call to love? Because that's why the name of the book is called Made for Love. Is every human being?
Yeah,
made for love.
How much do you think? I'm going to give out the phone number so folks can call. And anybody here who has a question that they'd like to ask Father Mike, we'll, throughout the hour, there's a microphone right there. But the number 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about Father Mike's brand new book, Made for Love, or talk about the church's attitude and ministry to folks with same-sex attraction, 888-318-7884. How much do you think that the rejection of the church's teaching on same-sex attraction is connected to a more, it's part of a continuum of things that modern people just find unacceptable about the church's teaching on sexuality.
Because, oh, yeah.
I think contraception is not getting a better, you know, the teaching on contraception is not getting a better hearing, I don't think.
Well, that's the thing, is it's really interesting. I got an email conversation with he's about my age. I was a young man, but that's not true.
You're a young
this
man,
this middle-aged
Father Mike.
Man who, he was raised Catholic. He lived in another country, but raised Catholic and identified strongly as Catholic and loved the Catholic Church. And then when he was about 27, 28, he came out and he, in his emails with me, he shared, okay, I cannot accept, I believe that all the church teaches, except I cannot accept, and he named three things. I can't accept the church's teaching on homosexuality. I can't accept the church's teaching on masturbation, and I can't accept the church's teaching on divorce and remarriage. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And maybe they'll point out to him, like, do you realize all of
that's
your,
a nexus there. Right? I see a theme.
Do you realize that? And contraception, that was a fourth thing, but it wasn't part of his life, so he's kind of like, that's, you know, neither here nor there. I'm like, do you realize everything you're saying, like, I believe the church, founded by Christ, except when it comes to sex, or when it comes to sexuality, or relationships, and the high call of self-sacrifice. And then at one point, it was so interesting, because he said, well, Jesus doesn't say anything about contraception. Jesus doesn't say anything about same-sex attraction. I said, okay, well, the argument from silence is kind of the weakest argument, but say, well, what if he did say something very clearly about one of these teachings that you disagree with? Would you change your mind? Well, yeah, of course I would have to. Okay, well, you know, in a couple of the Gospels, Jesus says that a man may not divorce and remarry, or else he's committing adultery. He's like, what? Where? I'm like, okay.
Really?
Well, yeah. So then I showed him, like, here's the spots. Very, very clear.
Yeah.
And so it was so interesting to see what happened next, because the next step was, how can I, who's reading that in a way that undoes what Jesus says? Because there's any number of, you know, modern Christian writers, maybe modern Catholic writers, who try to undo the absolute clarity that Jesus has when it comes to this issue.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, once our heart becomes hardened to a certain point, I'm going to refuse to listen, even if you can present me with evidence that I said was, if you could show me where Jesus said this is wrong or this is right, I'll have to believe it. And you show it, and they're like, yeah, but that's not, he didn't really mean it.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, okay, well, They just revealed to me something more deep about your heart. And so,
but isn't it the case for all of us that conversion is a matter of making a lot of choices? We don't, most of us don't go, oh, 100% I'm in from today.
Yeah.
We face difficulties along the way.
Yeah.
And we have to make choices about whether we're going to accept the words of Christ or the words of, you know, this writer over here or this speaker over there that makes it easier on me, that kind of thing.
Well, that's the thing is, I think that when it comes down to it, it's all about living under the lordship of Christ.
Amen.
And so the idea is, and maybe some of you in the live audience, you know, understand this, like that notion of like, think of anything in your life that you love, like anything that defines you. You can think, okay, so does that thing that defines me, does it also define how I follow Jesus? So like, say for example, okay, I have, so you're a guy and you have a girlfriend and you say, this relationship is the most important thing in my life. And you know what? We sleep over at each other's place all the time. And, you know, Jesus doesn't care about that kind of thing. And so what I've done is I've taken this relationship. So that defines how I follow Jesus now. As opposed to flipping it around and saying, no, following Jesus defines how I live that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it with anything. Think of it with your work. Like, no, the Lord wants me to make as much money as possible. So what I've done is I've taken that thing, work, and I say, that now defines how I follow Jesus. As opposed to saying, no, I follow Jesus. How does he want me to work? And that's all the entire difference is right when it comes down to there. And somewhere, like you said, we're all on this continuum of deeper and deeper submission and surrender to Christ as Lord or not. And I think if I could just share a little story.
Please.
So in our RCIA, we have a great RCIA class this year. A couple weeks ago, this young woman came up and she said, because I'd mentioned something about confession, and I mentioned that when you go to confession, you have to intend not to sin again, which would make sense, right? You can't like, okay, I'm on my way to go get drunk again, so let's wrap up the confession so I can go get drunk and confess being drunk. I can't intend to do it again and expect to be absolved. And I use the example of I can't be living with my boyfriend or girlfriend and then go to confession knowing that I'm going back that night to live with my boyfriend or girlfriend. And after class, actually the next week, she came up and she's like, I had no idea.
Whoa.
Like she had no idea whatsoever. The Catholic family was like, you know, this is a good idea. You know, you guys love each other. You're going to get married anyways. You're going to save some money. Like, what do I do? Because I can't go to confession, can I? Because I can't be forgiven until I change that part of my... And she just demonstrated this openness. And it was so, so powerful, so beautiful. So I was like, what can you do? And she even said, it's so sweet. She said, when I found a subleaser, I thought that was a sign from God that this was a good step. And she said, unprovoked, she said, but now I know that wasn't true. And I was like, wow, this is a girl on her way to, it's not perfect. I mean, like any of us, not perfect, but on her way to this, like, okay, I'm being called to submit more and more. And she, every week since then, they make decisions, some really hard decisions she and her fiance have made to get away from that.
Yep.
And they get closer and closer to the Lord. And just like, it's so powerful. But even no matter where someone's in, no matter where someone's at, like here, driving in the car right now and saying, are you telling me that I have to be perfect? Well, Jesus does, but...
Yeah, he does saying, mention that.
But right now, this notion of like a really positive sense of gradualism, in the sense of he's patient. And if I'm at this point right now and I'm struggling, keep struggling.
Yeah.
If I'm at this point of saying like, but I don't know if Jesus is the full Lord of my life. Well, just take a step.
Yep.
And that's what this whole book's about. It's just like, what's the next step for people who experience heterosexual attraction, those who experience same-sex attraction, and say... Where in my life might my heart be just a little bit off when it comes to what I love and what I want to give my life for?
Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. The brand new book is Made for Love. Father is an internet sensation and now a radio sensation. We are broadcasting live from the floor of the Los Angeles Religious Ed Conference, the largest gathering of Catholics in the United States. Our number, if you want to talk with Father Mike, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with your questions for Father Mike right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, this is Jim Blackburn, Catholic apologist, author, and speaker. Are you looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker to come and speak at your conference or parish event? We've got a whole host of Catholic Answer speakers just waiting to get on a plane and come see you. Go to CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. Sayings like these are such a part of tradition that we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Even though nobody can seem to place their origin, by sheer repetition, they have acquired a halo of truth. In What the Saints Never Said, Trent Horn takes over 40 of these well-known but actual dubious sayings and attempts to track them to their true source. The result? He finds some that are close to what was really said, many that were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few that were just plain made up. By setting the record straight, Trent roots out theological errors that can lead us away from Christian truth and offers authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to that truth. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said today by calling 1-888-291-8000. Visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book that you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's a great big Friday show that's even greater and even bigger because we are at the largest gathering of Catholics that happens each year in the United States, the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress. More than 40,000 people, and some of the best of them are right here with us as our live audience. I'm pretty sure these are the best of the folks who come to the conference. Our guest is Father Mike Schmitz. His brand new book, Made for Love, all about dealing from a Catholic perspective in the fullness of charity and truth with same-sex attraction, and intending to help both folks who experience those attractions and all the rest of us who may be confused or frustrated or upset or unclear about the Church's teaching. The number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. All you live folks, we have a call we're going to go to, but if anybody wants to ask a question, pick up that microphone and we'll go to you next, all right? So you decide. Father, we go to Mary Helen in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio, 820 AM. Mary Helen, you are on with Father Mike Schmitz. Your question, please.
Hi, Father Mike Schmitz. And gentlemen,
hi.
I don't know what your name is. I've forgotten it. I'm waiting for the call to go through. My question, or my observation, I guess, is kind of with a heavy heart as a mom of six kids, that I say there are times when I've wanted to tell the kids about certain things, not necessarily sexuality, and they just look at me, roll their eyes, and I know they're going to have to learn this one the hard way, whatever the lesson is that I'm trying to impart. And I think my mom and dad probably did the same thing, both of them teachers, both of them Catholic, strong through the whole thing. My husband and I are both Catholic. I just wonder, I'm not reconciling or resigning, rather, myself to the probability of our kids learning things the tough way. But when I start to say anything, even with a lot of forethought and trying to really plan the words carefully, boy, do the eyes still roll. And I still have that feeling of, I blew it. I shouldn't even bring this stuff up. It's not as though they're asking me questions anymore. They're all, you know, older and they know everything. But
they're smarter
than
you
now, Mary
Helen.
And I love them and they're sweet kids. They really are. But I want to know how I can talk with them. Should I just kind of trust in God that if I keep saying the same thing to them whenever they ask and pray for them, that they will hopefully learn and not walk away from their Catholic teaching completely?
Okay, Mary Helen, thank you. Father Mike Schmitz.
Yeah, it's a great question because I also identify with the eye roller, and you could be my mom on the phone right now. Like, this is very much, there were times, hopefully this gives you some encouragement. There were times when she was like, what are we doing wrong with him? Talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just what are we doing? Like, what the heck? I remember she once sat me down and she was like, she said, how come when I talk to people out around town, they say how nice you are, to them. And you say you're nice to every one of them. How come you're not nice to me and to us? I was like, Mom, because I don't have to be nice to you because you love me anyways. You know, I didn't say that, but that's, you know, it's so easy to just kind of dismiss your parents. But when it came down to this, when I really, like you said, learning the hard way, when I really truly knew that, I actually was a major moment of conversion for me where I did, it was the hard way. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm a sinner. Like I remember it was an interior conviction of, oh my gosh, sin, that my mom and my dad and that the teachers at religious ed and that in my elementary school, I've been telling me, I do that thing. And then all of a sudden, everything they had told me, everything they had told me up to that point, all of a sudden made sense. And I remember thinking, I need a savior. Wait a second. Bing! Like, I have a savior. and it was for my mom and my dad. And so in the meantime, what she had done is she always would have books around. She always have tapes around. I mean, here you are listening to the Catholic Answers Live. So there's no way your children don't know where to go for answers.
Yeah.
Like, I direct them to the radio station. I direct them to the website. My students, or anyone who emails me, all of the time. Because what you're doing, even if they're not listening to your answers, they find where you can get the answers. And that's going to be massively important. The other thing I just want to highlight is not only you keep saying, the moment a parent stops inviting their children to Mass, the moment they stop telling them about the truth of Jesus Christ in the church, I think children notice that and they're not grateful. They're not relieved. They're like, oh, so I guess my mom or my dad think that I'm so far gone that they're not even going to invite me anymore. And don't be that parent. You know, do realize that you can always invite them back, and that even if they don't respond, that's your job. And you don't have to be annoying, because even Scripture says, you know, go easy on them. Essentially, and that's a paraphrase. I don't think the Bible says that. It says like don't provoke your children.
Yeah, right.
But the big thing, last thing I'll say, is prayer and fasting is probably the most powerful, most important thing any parent can do for their children. So prayer and fasting, realizing that the stage that in this life is not hopefully the end of the story, but is simply a page in their story, and prayer and fasting.
Mary Helen, what do you make of that?
We have enthroned the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts so this past year, and so that's definitely out in front when they come over for pizza on Saturday night. Only one of them still lives at home. This all sounds like exactly what I was thinking I would be doing, so it's not a surprise. It's actually a very blessed relief that we're doing the right thing.
Awesome, yeah.
We still invite them to Mass when we can, you know, when they're around, and just praying. So I also renamed all of our kids with saints' names. Three of the five who are still alive, we had a little miscarriage of a little daughter. They are confirmed. But the two who are not, I know what their names are. In fact, the youngest said, Mom, if I would ever be confirmed, what would you think of the name of Pius? I'm like, yay!
Yeah, great.
Mary Helen, thank you very, very much for that call. We bring it back here, right here in Los Angeles, where we are at the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress. We have a gentleman has picked up the challenge, picked up the microphone, and you're going to have to tell us your name and your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Father, my name is Scotty Van Horn, and I just want to say I'm a big fan, first of all.
Thanks, Scotty.
I want to say hi to my mom, who's listening right now on there, too.
Nice.
I love you. And my question is...
a shout-out. You just did a shout-out.
To his mom, too.
Nice.
So good.
For everything. All right. My question is, I struggle a lot with trusting and like waiting for what God has planned for my future, especially when it comes to like finding the right woman and for to get married. And my question is, like any like advice that you have, like you know, like, especially when it comes to discerning like waiting for your future, like trusting in what God has planned for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scotty. Great question. Okay, keep holding on the microphone because there's probably some follow-ups you got. Hear me here. Well, first thing I would say is, you nailed the one word. The one word is trust. I mean, what it all comes down to is, do I trust the following two truths?
I got to interrupt you, Father. Sorry, because we had a problem with the microphone. They didn't hear the question. So Scotty was asking. First of all, Scotty gave a shout out to his mom.
Yeah.
And then he was asking.
And he said that he loves her.
Yep. And then he said, Father, can you help me with how to discern directions to go for the future?
Absolutely. And so, and he said, the big issue is like trust. And so what it comes down to is that's the big word. Number two questions. Can I trust this huge truth that God knows me better than I know myself? Number two, that he loves me better than I love myself. Because if that's true, if God knows you better than you know yourself and loves you better than you love yourself, that means he knows exactly what you're made for. He knows exactly what will bring you the most joy, what will make you the most sanctified, He knows, and he also, if he loves you, that's what he wants for you. So often we're like thinking, like, no, you know, I know God doesn't really want my best. He doesn't really want me to. I have to like look around my life as if I'm like Sherlock Holmes trying to pick up all these clues. Like, okay, what does this mean? You know, what does this mean? Well, there's some of that discernment. But ultimately, if I trusted, well, God wants me to know this. Well, then now I can just easily ask three questions. And I always say this. Number one question is, am I in a state of grace? Because if I'm not in a state of grace, I'm kind of, I've gotten a lot of fuzz between myself and the Lord's voice. And so I need to be plugged in to the Lord. So if I'm not in a state of grace, go to confession. If you are in a state of grace, perfect. On to question number two. Question number two is, am I doing my daily duties? Like, am I doing the tasks that are right in front of me? If I'm not, start doing them. If I am, keep going on. Third question is, am I praying every day? Because it doesn't make any sense to say, I wonder what God wants to say to me if I don't take it. Stop and listen. But if you do those things, you can trust the Lord who knows you better and loves you better than you know and love yourself to give you the answer.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right, subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order. Order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, great big Friday show from the floor of the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest this hour. Next hour, Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain, will be in for The Chaplain Is In. You can ask any pastoral questions you have at that time. This hour, we're devoting to Father Mike Schmitz's brand new book from Ignatius Press, Made for Love, a book that is so sorely needed to help us think sensibly and charitably about same-sex attraction and about what the Church is inviting each of us to in living out our lives, whether we are same-sex attracted or not. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. We go now to Erica in Columbus, Ohio. No, we talked to Erica already. Did we talk to Erica already? No, I guess not. Erica in Columbus, Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio, 820 AM. Erica, you're on with Father Mike Schmitz. Your question, please.
Hi, yes. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to start, Father Mike, you have been great over the 2 years that I've been coming back to the church and watching your videos.
Awesome.
And
you're
listening to your homilies, and it's really helped me in the past 2 years grow in the faith. My question for you is, do you have any practical advice in being a Catholic Christian in the world and with the idea of morality? I'm taking a Symbolon course at my church, and the topic of morality came up the other day. And something I struggle with is, you know, if somebody is actively sinning and you know that with homosexual tendencies, for example, what are some practical ways of not denying yourself contact with that person, but really just some practical advice in everyday how to act and how to really love that person. Because I've heard, you know, accept and love, but I guess I don't really understand what those actions look like.
What that really means. That's a great question. Thank you so much. And thank you for your encouragement. That really means a lot. So practically speaking, one of the things that I try to communicate in the book is how commonsensical it is to really love someone in a practical way. Meaning that I think sometimes here's one of the things that happens to us. There are some, there is a tendency towards exceptionalism in many of us. What I mean by that is, I accept all the teachings of the church, except for the ones, when it comes to me, or when it comes to this teaching, or when it comes to this other kind of area, then I just can't accept that. And I have a free pass because I experience it, right? So there's that sense of, like, sometimes going to be an exceptionalism. And so you can't tell me that this is incorrect because I've always felt this way. You can't tell me that this is, to act on this would be wrong because this, you don't know my experience and I'm the exception to your rule. You don't know, if someone else who, was maybe divorced or remarried, you don't know what my first marriage was like. And there's a lot of those arguments that I would say, yeah, you're right. I don't know what your experience is like. At the same time, common sense would say, but if I'm going to actually love you, then I need to be in your life. And if we're going to be more than simply our sins, if we're going to be more than simply our inclinations, then I have to be willing to look, not just look past, like look around, like pretend they're not there, but I have to really see the person. And this is where it comes up. Not only is there such a thing as exceptionalism, I don't want to be too abstract here. Exceptionalism is also a thing when it comes to, particularly when it comes to same-sex attraction, that we relate that experience with the person's identity. And so if a person experiences same-sex attraction, we say, oh, that's who you are. And so in your case, they'd be able to say, okay, well, I want to walk with somebody who experiences this. But if they were to say, no, this is my identity, this is the core of who I am, then we have this obstacle, right? But if you and I approach every human being we meet, knowing that every person has wounds, every person has weaknesses, every person has the experiences, but these wounds and weaknesses do not define them and do not define us, then I have the freedom to truly love a person and realizing, you're more than your experiences. You're even more than your choices. Your identity is actually rooted in being a child of God. And so imagine, here's a friend of yours who is in a bad relationship. Here's Jack, and Jack is going out with Jill, and Jack and Jill are in a terrible relationship. Now, you could reduce your relationship with Jack to his relationship with Jill. But you probably would say, every time we hang out with Jack, I don't have to bring up Jill because we don't always talk about Jill. It's not the only thing that I like about Jack. It's the only thing that's in his life. No, he marries Jack and he's in a relationship with Joe. Same kind of thing. Where there are times maybe when you might have to say, I can't do that thing, or I can't go there. But otherwise, you'd be able to say, no, Jack, I'm actually going to have a relationship with you, not Jack the gay man, but with Jack, my friend. And that's a massive difference. Once we look past what someone says, this is my identity, and say, I think your identity is bigger than this. I think this is your experience, and it's significant. But I think that who you really are is bigger than this, then it's common sense. And I don't mean like in a condescending way. I mean it in the way that frees you up to like, hanging out with Jack is fine. Of course it's fine. But I can't do everything because I can't do that if Jack was going out with Jill. I don't know if that makes any sense or if that's
It made sense really to me. Confusing. How about you, Erica? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. You've done it again, Father Mike.
You've done it again, Father Mike.
Okay, so that
should be our motto. We should get T-shirts made. Erica, thanks for that call. You've done it again, Father Mike. We're going to try again with the microphone here on the floor of the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress. We're broadcasting from the EWTN booth, so if you're in the neighborhood, come on by. Let's see how this goes. Can you tell us your name and your question for Father Mike Schmitz?
Fatima Manriquez.
Wait, sorry.
Fatima Manriquez.
Okay, Fatima.
My question for you, Father, is as a college student, I always find myself too busy doing homework or at work, and I tend to leave God at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So how would you recommend that I fix that lifestyle? Because I know that he's there, but I never really leave time for him.
No, absolutely. Fatima, that is amazing. Fatima, say it with the proper way. Fantastic question. Are you familiar with the concept of first fruits? So in the Bible, there's this concept where here you have a plot of land, Here you have some sheep or whatever, some flocks, you know. And when those flocks come in, when the grain comes in, whatever, the field, fruit of the field comes in, a person would always set aside the first fruits, like the first bushel of grapes, if you're a vine person, or, you know, a wine person. The first thing of, you know, bushel of hay, if you're that. The first sheep from the flock, like this is your first fruits. And that would be dedicated to the Lord. So it's not the whole field, but as a sign of like, Lord, you get the first, because you gave me this whole field. So I'm going to give you the very first fruits that come from this field. To look at your week or look at your day in the same way. Lord, I didn't do anything to make this 24 hours. These aren't mine. You're giving them to me. These 7 days, like they're yours, Lord, but you're giving them to me. This is my field now. So the question is, how can I, like say on a Sunday, look at my Monday through Saturday and say, okay, God, how each day can I give you my first fruits? And the first fruits doesn't necessarily mean I give God a whole hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours of prayer. What it means is I look at my schedule and say, okay, these are the things I have to do. Go to school. You mentioned the college student. Go to school. If I have work or whatever. Okay, that's there. The first choice I get to make is where am I going to take 15 minutes? Where am I going to make 20 minutes? 21 minutes is a Netflix episode of a sitcom. And so 21 minutes of being able to say, Lord, this is on Monday. First fruits at 10 a.m. Tuesday, I have a 10 a.m. class, so it's going to be first fruits at 9 a.m. or maybe at 3 p.m. on Wednesday, and decide that on Sunday so that you know, like, oh, Lord, even though I gave you only 21 minutes, it's like, no, those are my first fruits, and you get them first. Does that make sense? So I always ask people to say, choose your when, like, when are you going to pray? Then choose your where are you going to pray? Because not every place is as good as any other. Choose your what, like, what are you going to do when you go to pray? And one of the things I love, there's so many options, but pick one. And then when are you going to stop praying? So 21 minutes, just press play on the office, put it on mute. And when that piano thing comes back along, you know, okay, I'm done praying right now.
Fatima, thank you very, very much.
You've done it again, Father.
You've done it again, Father Mike. That is going to be, I'm going to make some money selling those T-shirts. We are live here at Catholic Answers Live from the booth of EWTN. Lots and lots of cool stuff going on here at the booth. Our own booth is across the way, so come by, say hello if you're here at the LA Religious Ed Conference. And if you're not and you'd like to talk with Father Mike, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We go now to Maria in Portland, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio, 88.3 FM. Maria, your question for Father.
Hello.
Hi, Maria. Are you there, Maria?
Yeah. Hello?
Hi, go ahead. Your question for Father.
Hi, Father Mike. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling more about my nephew just came out, and he said that he's transgender. And, you know, I'm trying to be as supportive and as loving as possible. He's my oldest nephew, and I kind of grew up with him. But I'm also trying to grow in my faith, so I'm kind of like, stuck in between two places, you know, between my faith and what I believe, and to be loving and compassionate, and you know, and of course, understanding my sister because she's having a very difficult time with it. She's not even wanting to see him if he's, you know, he dresses as a woman. So, to me, it doesn't bother me, but it also. I'm just struggling with it. So,
okay, Maria, hang on. Father, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. And also thank you for describing some of the experiences. You know, and it's not to, like, first thing I want to say is not meant to be negative towards your sister. But one of the problems that can happen a lot of times, particularly whether it's someone who reveals that they're same-sex attracted or if someone's transgender, is that... the people who know and love them will sometimes be really tempted to just avoid them. And that's a common temptation, but it's also a temptation that us as Christians can't necessarily give into right away. I mean, there might be a time when someone pushes us away, but one of the big calls, one of the high calls for us is even when we disagree with someone's choices and someone's lifestyle and how they're presenting themselves, is there a way that we can bridge a gap? And is there a way that we can not... reject them? And so that, I mean, and I understand that it'd be really hard for your sister if he's dressing in a way and acting in a way that just really is unsettling to your sister, to his mom, but nonetheless, how can you walk You know, one of the things that we realize is the reality when it comes to many people in this whole new experience of transgenderism is that it's, the statistics are something along the lines of 80 to 90% of people with even being left alone will grow out of having transgender feelings. That in many people, it's simply a, for whatever it is, I don't know why, what causes it. I don't know where it necessarily leads to, but is something that is often very transitional in someone as they're coming to an awareness of their own body being themselves. So now, here's what I would invite you to do. I would highlight this. There's this thing called body identity integrity disorder. It's BIID. BIID, body integrity identity disorder, is when someone looks at their own hand and they say, like, this doesn't feel like me. This isn't my own hand. And so if they went to the doctor, they could say, take off this hand because it's not me. It's not part of me. I need you to amputate this. The physicians would say, of course not. That really is your hand because you are your body. But when someone comes in and says, you know, these genitals of mine, aren't me. Please take them off or, you know, do the surgery. There's kind of an inclination like, well, I guess, you know, how do I know? Well, you know, because the person is their body. And we know this as Catholic Christians, is the body is that is them and they are their body. The body reveals the person. So I would say if you approach your nephew in a similar way, what if he experienced BIID in the way when it came to his hand, when it came to his eyesight, when it came to his legs? You would simply say, okay, there's something going on here. I might not fully understand it. I don't necessarily even like know where it's coming from or why it is there. But I know that in some way he's hurting. Because that's one of the things is I believe that the suicide rate amongst transgender is 43%.
Oh, my Lord.
And
really?
I think the only higher suicide rate among any other populace in the planet was Jews in concentration camps during World War II.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Which reveals something. And it could reveal, like, is it reveal our culture, our culture's, like, rejection? Well, I don't know. It might. But I think there's something deeper. I think it reveals that there's a deeper wound happening inside, mentally, inside, in hearts. And so for you to love your nephew, but to treat him as your nephew, and to recall that even though he's struggling, imagine if it was his hand, his legs, his eyesight, and then just that's how you walk with him. To realize, okay, I know what you're struggling right now. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know why it is. I don't know what to do. But I know that I know you. And I can still walk with you. I think that in that very, very clear, very practical way.
Maria, I hope that that was helpful. We have to move to a break. Thank you very, very much for that call. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest this hour on Catholic Answers Live. If you'd like to talk with Father, 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
And I'm having the time of my life.
Early bird pricing ends July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and you've probably heard me explain Catholicism to non-Catholic callers on the radio or engage opponents in formal public debates. I've always hoped these interactions would show people how to graciously defend and share our faith, but they're not enough. That's why I've created a weekly podcast that will help Catholics answer the toughest objections against our faith. Every episode of the Council of Trent will provide listeners with a conversation roadmap that will help them share their faith with anyone. Keep in mind that I hate boring lectures. These podcasts will contain entertaining, informative, and practical explanations of the faith, as well as interviews with the best Catholic writers and speakers in the world today. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com today to find out how you can subscribe to my new podcast. That's TrentHornPodcast.com.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the Great Big Friday Show on Catholic Answers Live. So happy that you are. Oh, look at that. Applause for the comeback. Wow. I haven't. This may be the first time that's ever happened. And you hear that applause because we are not in the studio. We are out at the LA Religious Ed Congress and lots of people here. And Father Mike Schmitz is our guest this hour. We're talking about his book, Made for Love. We're talking about same-sex attraction. We're talking about families dealing with family members, friends dealing with friends, and doing so in a way that imitates Christ. If we can, we might as well. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884 is the number. I'm going to go to David now in Washington, D.C., listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. David, your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hi, can you hear me all right?
We can.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm a little nervous. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you, Father Mike, for doing what you do. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say that I walked away from the gay community maybe 5 or 7 years ago, and it was very, very difficult because I thought I was going to have horrible feelings of loneliness and isolation, and I struggled with that for a long time, and I lost friends. I walked away from a love relationship, and a lot of my friends said that I was that self-loathing gay guy, and it was very hurtful. I credit the good people over at EWTN for providing honest the honest truth, which at sometimes was very difficult to listen to. But after a while, I realized what they were saying was that they were saying that they loved me and that the church loved me and welcomed me.
God,
as a beautiful child of God.
Amen.
And
yeah.
People like you and your videos have. I've watched a number of your videos, especially the one at Steubenville, and that was very touching. The one where you talk about us and them, and I found that was very comforting. I just wanted to say thank you for you and your videos and the work that you do. You've been a very big help to me.
Thank that, David. That means so much. And actually, if I could ask you a question, was there anything that kind of precipitated? Like, what was the thing that really maybe moved you to a place where you thought, okay, I know I'm afraid of being lonely. I'm afraid of that being isolated, but I need to take this step. Was there anything that really that you can remember was significant in helping you make that step?
I felt myself gravitating back to my Catholic faith a number of years ago, and so I would go over to the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception and sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Yeah. And I hadn't been to confession since my first confession, when I was a child in grade school. So I sat there for, you know, I go in like once to four times a week just to sit there for about an hour. And finally I said, I think God wants me to go to confession.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would tell the priest, you know, in confession after that, because I would start to go once a week, every once a month, something like that, for about a number of years, 2 years. And you know, there's lots of suggestions, you know, try courage, try talking to your parish priest about, you know, a spiritual advisor and stuff like that. And none of that really seemed to be where I wanted to go. But I joined the Knights of Columbus, of all things.
Yes.
And I felt that the brotherhood in there was very helpful. I don't know that if I answered your question or not.
No, it absolutely does. I mean, because I think one of the things I try to mention in the book and things I try to highlight is that, David, it's men like you, and men of God, men after the Lord's own heart, like you, that most people don't know exist. That many people think, like, no. If, like you said, even with some of your close friends from the lifestyle, and maybe even those you had truly loved from the lifestyle, who was saying, like, oh, you're someone who is self-loathing. You're like, no, actually, I love myself because I know the Lord first loves me. And there's something really powerful about your testimony and your witness, and I just want to encourage you because you give so many people encouragement. In fact, I remember a number of years talking about this, and about how I can't wait for the day when there's a canonized saint who is, you know, admits that he's experiencing or she experienced same-sex attraction, but remain chaste. And remember, so many people like you, David, coming up to me and saying, like, I'm going to be that first saint. Like, I'm gonna be that one because I have found that the Lord loves me no matter what, but he's also calling me higher. And David, it's more men like you that we need in the church. I'm so glad you found a group of brothers in the Knights of Columbus, and I'm so honored and humbled that you took the time to call today.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. You have a good evening.
You too. You made our evening, David. Thank you very, very much. I like the scriptural reference, a man after God's own heart, David.
David.
Oh, you didn't even know you were doing that?
I didn't even realize.
Oh, my gosh. The original man after God's own heart. We're going to try the microphone here on the floor of the LA Religious Ed Conference one more time. Jaime, is that right?
Yes.
You have a question for Father.
Yes, or a scenario. I don't know how to present the question, so
okay.
Just the scenario. It's just been brought to my attention about sins of omission. And recently I went to Mass and I sat down. I was there, and then towards like 10 minutes into Mass, you know, I see someone walk by, and I caught a glimpse, and the glimpse was short hair, and then saw a few tattoos, and this, okay, it's a guy, and then I was kind of curious, so I just took a glance, and then I noticed it was a female, a lady, and I didn't know what to do. Because I don't want to judge her. I don't want to judge her and be like, no, this can't happen. So how do I go about a scenario that not only with a lady with short hair and dressed like a guy, but like we also come around scenarios with like people that are in relationships, men and women that are in a relationship that they're not married. Mm-hmm. So. When I started off, I said sins of omission. I don't want to allow it to happen, but how do I go about like trying to correct it? I guess.
I see. Yeah. Okay, right. Jaime. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, great question. And even the two scenarios are very interesting because they're both very different. I remember years ago reading, and this is my thought. But you guys had me here, so I don't know. Maybe you want my thoughts.
We kind of do.
So reading in C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. His chapter on chastity. And I think he opens up his two chapters, I believe. One chapter on chastity, he talks about modesty. And it kind of really threw me for a loop because in his chapter on modesty, he pointed out or made the case that that modesty can be different in different cultures. So what's appropriate for when it comes to modesty can be one thing in one culture and another thing in another culture. That there might not be too many, not everything regarding modesty is hard and fast across cultures, that there's a variance there. So similarly, I think when it comes to like this kind of question is like, is there anything inherently, intrinsically wrong with, say, woman with short hair, woman with tattoos, woman who's wearing the clothes that are typically associated with men? I don't know if there's anything intrinsically evil about that, because I don't know if there's anything intrinsically evil about, see, in Scotland, I would wear a skirt. Call it a kilt, and to be able to say, okay, I mean, that's just, okay, culturally speaking, not necessarily intrinsically wrong. But when there is something that's intrinsically wrong, when can I say something? I would always say, when I say something is based on my relationship with that person. So myself as the pastor, I have a responsibility to correct someone. If you're a brother or a sister, a father or, you know, someone in a relationship, then I might have a responsibility to correct. But if there's a stranger, I might have to get to know the person long, long before I can offer them any kind of correction. Unless I'm placed in a position of a relationship, because that correction always has to flow out of an existing, I think, pre-existing relationship.
Thank you, Jaime. We're about done with the show. How about a big hand for Father Mike here, right? Nice job.
Thanks,
Father.
Next
hour, Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain, will be in, and we're taking questions of a pastoral nature. So, you know what? If you're on the line, these questions are pastoral for the most part, so you can stay on the line. We'll get to you. And if you haven't called yet, 888-318-7884 is our number. I don't know how much time we have, Father, but can we have your blessing before we go?
Oh, absolutely. May Almighty God send His Holy Spirit upon all of you and bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
And we will be back right after this with more on Catholic Answers Live.